This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. They're trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AmTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AmTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday.
Love you.
It's a great place to be. You know what? It's a great day also if you're Richie Incognito.
Tell me more.
He is victory lapping Bullygate.
Yeah, he is.
Now, this does not rise to the level of the Duke lacrosse scandal and the woman at the center of that saying she made every bit of it up.
Right.
Because she destroyed lives in a irreparable way.
Guys had to change their names.
For 20 years.
Yeah.
But Richie Incognito's career was severely derailed. He was slandered, drugged through the mud. Look, Richie's not a great guy. Like, no, nobody's singing those praises.
No, he is not a great guy.
He is the Bill Romanowski of offensive linemen.
Yeah, he played for 5 years after this, though,
yes,
in the National Football League. And, I mean, that's a very good run, especially when he played, I think it was 7 years prior to this happening. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
he was a good offensive lineman.
He was a really damn good offensive lineman.
That,
but it did not ruin his career. He went to the Pro Bowl three times after this happened with Jonathan Martin in the bullying situation.
Jonathan Martin has now come out and said that he never believed for a second that he was bullied by Richie Incognito, and yet he doubled down that path over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And everyone carried that water. The biggest news brokers in the world, including Adam Schefter, were driving this narrative home against Richie Incognito, and Richie Incognito has basically spent the last 4 days quote tweeting and bashing every single one of those reporters.
Now, there are, and this is such a delicate situation here because, one, there's Richie Incognito's past, which cannot be ignored.
No.
Right? Like, he is. When I say past, prior to the Jonathan Martin situation happening, okay, there is also things that have happened after Richie Incognito's career. What, remember, what it was like a baseball bat to a Ferrari or something? Mm-hmm. The guy is a little bit...
The use of the N-bomb.
Unstable. But in this, when you sit there and you say the reporters and what they were looking at, they were looking at what was being fed to them from Jonathan Martin, his lawyer, and his agent, which were, I mean, when you think of bullying, I think on the outside, you would say, 100%, this is bullying. Because he would use the N-word in text messages that were provided to all of these newsbreakers saying, I'm going to get you, I'm going to make you pay, you...
Yeah.
And it was something where you read it and you went, oh boy, okay. But there's also, in something that Richie Incognito always said was, like, I'd never felt like that, that, like, I was crossing the line with him. That seems like a miss on his part. But he was like, no, we would go out and we would do things together. And I never thought that it was to this point. Boy. So I can see where, like, guys like Schefter and, you know, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, why they took this story when you're looking at text messages that Richie Incognito has sent to Jonathan Martin, where you're like, yeah, that's not right by any normal person. What Jonathan Martin is now saying is that basically he didn't want to play football anymore. He didn't want to own up to it. And so he went with the bullying thing.
And his mom is the one who is the biggest carrier of water in that situation.
And his mom really ran with it. Because he would have had to give back a lot of money.
His signing bonus.
If he would have just quit playing football and been done with it. And to drag somebody through the mud and like he did with Richie Incognito because you just didn't want to play football anymore, that is not okay.
And
but for Richie Incognito,
he's not a great
way, the way that he was talking, it's like Richie Incognito wants to be put on this pedestal of look at he's a great guy. He's not.
No. But here there was actual harm too. Richie Incognito was put on indefinite suspension at the end of 2013 and did not play in 2014.
Missed a whole year.
He missed probably $8 million worth of revenue. Like that's not
and he
nothing.
He had to play on a
bargain contract.
Dirt cheap contract just to get back in the league, but he was good enough. And also, like and this is part of the messy part about it too, is that there were people in the league that knew that it was and even when all of this was going on, there was a steady trickle of people who'd be like, look, people in Miami are even saying it wasn't as bad as what Jonathan Martin's making it sound. But then a text message would surface calling him the N-word and everybody's like, yeah, no, that looks as bad as what people are saying.
Yeah.
And so, like, I can see how the newsbreakers and the reporters took it to where it was. Where they missed it was how many other people did they talk to in that locker room?
They got the message that they wanted to hear.
And
that's the thing
that right there is where they are at fault
because it becomes salacious and it becomes. And again, think about the time period this happened in. This is the explosion of social media. 2013.
Yep.
This is when Schefter and Woj and Florio, the people that are at the tops of their games came to prominence. And it was carrying these narratives.
Yeah. Yeah. And the narrative was very easy to carry, though.
It was.
And Richie did not make it difficult
for them to carry it.
And right now, he is, I loved it, it says, somebody said, Richie's doing victory laps right now, and you can't blame him. He said, I'm not doing victory laps. I'm just saying, I just want everybody to know I was right. I'm like, dude, that's a victory lap. And right now, I don't blame you for taking the victory laps over guys like Schefter and Florio for how heavy-handed they were towards you. And really the NFL, too, because, you know, the Ted Wells report, remember that was
144-page document.
And boy, it was pretty damning against Richie Incognito, too. And that was on top of, you know, like Schefter and Florio, maybe they didn't dig as deep as they could have or should have. Well, the Ted Wells report did, and it was still really damning. Nobody could really tell at the time was that Jonathan Martin was lying about the fact that he actually felt bullied and this is where he quit football. And did Richie Incognito cross a million lines? Yeah, he absolutely did. And I don't think that anybody now, and even back then, would sit there and say, yeah, what you were saying to him and what you were doing to him is acceptable, but it also did not affect Jonathan Martin to the degree that he said. In fact, Jonathan Martin is saying, I didn't feel bullied. Like, it was just sometimes in locker rooms, and it's such a weird thing to describe to people, because in locker rooms, you have these absolute loose cannon wackadoodles that in no other situation of your life would you ever interact with, hang out with, be so close to, but you are, because it's the locker room, mm-hmm. and those guys are around, and you, in order to be on that team and be in work together, especially in an offensive line unit,
a group
you tolerate a lot. And what Richie Incognito has been saying is, I was doing it in love. Well, dude, some of that stuff you just don't say, man. Like, you just don't do it. But he did, and what Jonathan Martin is now admitting to is, yeah, I understood that aspect of mm-hmm. it, and I didn't feel bullied. But I didn't want to play football anymore, and I didn't want to give him my money, so Richie Incognito was a fall guy.
Richie Incognito retweeted this from Ryan Clark. I think it's to your point of him not being a good guy, but it's kind of like the crux of the issue. This is from Ryan Clark. Jonathan Martin struggled with his mental health during events detailed in the Wells Bullygate report. He wasn't strong to handle the environment of the Miami Dolphins locker room. He no longer wants to be a 300-pounder who was bullied out of the NFL. He wants his name back, but some labels are forever, like bully. Even racist. Ones that took a year and a half from Richie Incognito's career. Maybe if Martin spoke up, neither would need a preve. Everyone lost here. I'd never absolve Incognito. Again, Richie Incognito retweeted this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never absolve Incognito. Reading the transcript of his profanity-laced and racist voicemail to Martin certainly pissed me off. He was an a-hole. I've been one too, but he punched down on Martin. That's not a leader nor a friend, nor the mentor he claimed to be.
He is a bully. Jonathan Martin lied about feeling bullied, though.
Yes. Both things can exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an interesting, it's not revisionist history, because that's not what it is. It's being revisited because the target of this is admitting that he lied.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bold. Like, and bold-faced
lie. And Jordan points out, like, ultimately, Jonathan Martin was a bully. It's just not usually the case that it's also total piece of crap person is the victim.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's it right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a wild turn of events, because usually people like Jonathan Martin will just take that to the grave mm-hmm. and they will never admit it. And that burden that he is holding is obviously a massive weight because of how wild it got. Like mm-hmm. he probably just said it at first and wanted it to be swept under the rug. And then
it was a wildfire.
And then it became a wildfire yeah. and it spread way too much. I mean, neither one of these guys are good guys.
No.
I mean, that's the moral of the story.
And everyone lost.
Everyone did lose. Oh my gosh.
All right, it's Wednesday, it's 2:15, which means it's time for Fact or Fluke. Some storylines that we're wondering, are they fact or are they fluky? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2:15 on a Wednesday, which means it's time for Fact or Fluke.
Yeah!
Some storylines that we like that we are wondering, are they factual or are they fluky? This first one, we both had the same exact reaction, I think, when we saw it. Fact or fluke, it was offsides for the mayor of Seattle to fake an NBA announcement.
Yeah, if you missed it, the mayor of Seattle went out and he was giving like a speech. And he went and grabbed a basketball from under the podium and started like spinning it in his hands and saying, I have an announcement to make. And the entire place just erupted. And then he goes, no, I'm just kidding. I had to change it up. Apparently, he went off script during his speech, and it could not have gone worse.
Boy.
The people of Seattle are furious with their mayor.
Do not toy with the fans of a franchise that was stolen away in the middle of the night, particularly after those same politicians promised the team wasn't going anywhere.
Well, he was not, but the mayor that was residing in office was sitting in the front row, and I'm sure he did not appreciate that. But I also think like it was a long and boring speech that he was giving.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he just wanted to change it up. I say it fluke. Like, I don't think it's that far offsides. People that got actually upset about it. Are you really mad that he did that? Are you really mad that he did that for a fraction of a second? And they're just like, ah, no. Because what do we all know? What do we know about expansion?
The team's coming. It's safe. But still.
Come on.
Don't toy with people. Don't.
A politician toying with people? No way!
Shut up.
Is the on the scale of politicians screwing with people, this is so far down the list.
I'll just say it's not a good look. Because right now, you know what people are talking about? That clip and not anything else he was talking about.
Yeah. Hey, we know who the mayor of Seattle is now.
Tough place to be.
All right. Fact or fluke, parity in baseball is a bigger issue than in the NBA. We have spring training. Camps are underway. Pitchers and catchers have reported. We now have players reporting.
Baseball is being played tomorrow.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what. Big spenders went and they spent money in baseball this year.
I'm going to say this is a hard fact. There is no sport like baseball. In the sense of the salary cap doesn't exist. You spend what you spend, and there is a near direct correlation, unless you're the New York Mets, with spending money and winning.
Yeah, that's where I'll go. It's a fluke because the NBA is right alongside it. So Major League Baseball has had 4 champions in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA has had 5 champions in the last 5 years. Both have had 8 teams play for championships.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, you've had some teams that aren't the biggest spenders, and obviously the ones that are the biggest spenders that are there. I think that the parity issue with the NBA is more exacerbated because they have a salary cap, and you still have the same problems of the consolidation of talent. Only a handful of teams have a chance to win every year, and I think that's a bigger issue in a capped league because in baseball, at least you could say, you want to win? Go pay the money. Go pay the freight. And there's teams that just opt not to do that. In the NBA, unless you get a star and you get lucky, if you're Portland, if you're Oklahoma City, if you're Milwaukee, if you're Detroit even, like you have major cities and smaller markets that if you don't have the star, you're screwed.
It's an interesting point, and I'm not necessarily going to argue against it, but I am in a sense of that's more of a singular player can be more disruptive in basketball than they can in baseball.
But where do those guys usually end up?
Historically, they've ended up on the coasts.
In the major markets.
Boston and L.A.
Boston, L.A.
They both have 18 times.
Miami. Like, in that, that's where I think that is where the issue is. In the NBA, we've talked about player empowerment, how it has been to a detriment to the league.
There's a lot of movement in baseball.
Yeah.
Including the biggest star in baseball staying in the same city but playing for a different town because of Winning and money.
Yeah, well, winning and money. They're willing to pay. And what is the biggest criticism of the Angels? Go spend money on somebody else to help Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Not name Anthony Rendon.
Oh, my God.
Who's injured again.
Injured again. Not going to play. Hey, that guy, professional bag getter.
Fact or fluke? The NBA needs to take a page out of the NHL All-Star experience.
No, fluke. You can't recreate what the NHL's doing. You can't do it. Because if you go country by country and you want to go that way with it, you're not going to still get that sense of pride that what you see in hockey. Because these mofos are playing as hard as they do in the playoffs for All-Star weekend.
One guy for the Bruins has actually took a pretty severe injury. He is now in the hospital because he's got a separated shoulder and an infection in his AC joint.
Yep. You're telling me you're going to get that replicated in the NBA?
Hey, look, the wonderful show, Primetime with Isaac and Souk, following us. I heard Souk yesterday as we were getting off air talking about the Red Wings captain. The Red Wings haven't been good for a while now, and their captain is out there saying that this game is the most important game he's ever played in.
Yeah.
An All-Star competition.
The Red Wings are good.
I'm going to say fact and not do it by nation. USA versus the world.
USA versus the world.
Put it to the test if the world is catching up to the U.S.
Yeah.
Put Jokic, Giannis, Shea, Wemby, all on a team.
I hope they would care. That's the biggest problem with the NBA, though, is that, like, they've tried everything to see if guys care. And it's hard to even... We talked about this leading into the Olympics. It's hard to convince guys to go to the Olympics now. I mean, that's once every 4 years.
And they don't do it like every other nation does it, where these guys are all like France and Serbia, like Canada. They're brought up together. Like, we do it in a sense with the Nike teams, Team USA / Nike teams, the U17s, U18s. But after they get to the NBA, other than getting to Team USA minicamps and the World Championships, they don't come together. And even then, when we do the World Championships, we send the B team.
I loved the quote from Kevin Durant in what's it called?
Court of Gold.
Court of Gold.
Don't use up too much, because that's where I was going to go next.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll play it next then, okay. Because Kevin Durant touched on that, and it was hilarious.
For those that have not seen it, I watched most of it last night.
But I also think it would be the problem doing this All-Star Weekend.
How so?
With what he said.
Okay. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's fact or fluke. Some things we like, some things we don't, and whether they're fact or fluke, every Wednesday at 2:15. Coming up next, that Court of Gold documentary, following along with Team USA, and also getting unfettered access to other nations' locker rooms. It made for some pretty compelling television. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna Burger?
In case you didn't see it, or it wasn't entirely ruined for you by social media and every excerpt that was out there, the Netflix doc Court of Gold came out chronicling the men's U.S. basketball team in their pursuit of a gold medal at the Olympics this year in Paris, France. And the camera crew had, again, unfettered access. And you get behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't normally get to see, like the inside of Serbia's locker room after Kevin Durant went 5-of-5 and had 21 points in the first half against Serbia. And Nikola Jokic is berating Bogdan Bogdanovic by saying, if you see Bam Adebayo with the ball and Kevin Durant is 5-of-5 from three, leave Bam Adebayo alone and get to Kevin freaking Durant. What are you doing?
Yeah, the coach coming in and dressing him down and just screaming at him too was fantastic. Serbia's coach, he just yelled the entire time.
He MF'd him like, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm an idiot for thinking you would be able to figure this out.
He said we have like a ghost guarding Kevin Durant out there.
I mean, it was a vicious takedown, and you saw there was some stuff that leaked out ahead of it from France's national team as it pertains to Evan Fournier about how their togetherness.
Yeah, this is why I don't think you'll get the passion in a USA versus the world all-star game in the NBA, because Evan Fournier, do not Google,
never
great
Google.
Nickname, his explanation and then Kevin Durant's response, I just love this so much.
We definitely have an advantage. We know each other. We've played together for 10 plus years. We have training camps every summer. These guys don't. These guys just show up for 3 weeks and just go play, right? It's extremely hard to create a team and create chemistry like that. And I think that's their biggest disadvantage. And that's always a challenge for them.
I could play together every day for the last 5 years. That ain't going to help you. That chemistry going to help you when you got guard stuff? So whoever talking, man, especially Fresh, man, just play the games, man. We ain't talking about y'all. We respecting what y'all doing over there, bro. Play the games, bro.
Ended up being pretty prophetic.
It's the mentality of just like, dude, we're just going to roll the ball out and we're just going to be better than you. And we're going
to
beat you.
Which this U.S. Olympic team was made and catered to that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea, do you remember the narrative, this being Ant Edwards and Jason Tatum?
Yeah.
Like they were going to take the torch?
No.
Ant Edwards got humbled very quickly. Jason Tatum, remember, didn't play.
Yeah, he benched. Jaylen Brown got more run than Jason Tatum did.
And who got the tick?
Or not Jaylen Brown. Derek White, yes. Sorry, because Jaylen Brown got left at home. Yes. But Derek White got more run, and that's even more insulting to Jason Tatum than Tatum did. That
and but remember, who got the tick in the title game? LeBron, yep. Steph, KD.
Yep.
Three best players of the past 15 years.
Yeah. They just said, you're going to carry us to a title.
And KD gives you 21 in the first half, and Steph freaking Curry, the final 2 minutes of that game, burned France to the ground.
I'm interested. You said you watched most of it. Do they go into how butthurt Jason Tatum was?
They do not.
No. Oh.
That part of it was left out, at least from what I've seen. I'm going to watch the rest of it tonight.
Because I bet you that might be at the end.
Yeah.
Because there was fallout from that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had some hurt feelings over his lack of playing time.
And then anybody who says otherwise is lying through their teeth as far as like how a player is going
to
feel.
That unless, was directed to Jason Tatum.
Unless you're Tyrese Halliburton, who was just along to get... He had the meme, you know,
yeah.
When the group project.
Just for a good time.
When everybody gets... When you get an A on the group project, and you're just sitting in the back smiling.
Yeah. It's hey, like, I'm here. I got it. Got my gold.
He knew the deal.
Yeah.
He was there to be a guy if they needed one.
In hindsight, with the way that he's playing this year, I think you can kind of see why. Because he knew he wasn't right still.
His hamstring, yeah.
And he's here we are, 6 months removed from the Olympics, and he's still not looking okay.
He has moments.
Mm-hmm.
He has games, but he also had that game here in Portland or in Indiana when Tumani Kamara blanked him.
Yep. Zero. Like nothing.
That was here.
It was yeah. He went 0 for 3.
Yeah, he only took 3 shots.
Hell yeah, Tumani Kamara.
But I do think it's very interesting, and I have made no bones about this. I right now, today, I believe France will be the favorite in LA.
In 2028. Come on, Cooper Flagg.
I believe and in 3 years, Victor Wembanyama will be the best player on the planet. And there has not been a team that had the best player on the planet outside of the U.S. that had the others around them.
Yeah.
You could make the argument for Serbia with
Bogdanovic and
Jokic. But I mean, the rest of those guys, they're EuroLeague players or guys that play in Serbia. Like, don't be wrong, they're good basketball players. But after Jokic, the fall off is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
When you're comparing them to the overall talent. Again, we're talking about Jason Tatum, a guy who's going to finish fourth in the MVP voting, who was left out of games.
That ain't it, dog.
Imagine if France had Jason Tatum. Do you think he's not playing minutes?
No.
He's going to be the second best player on France.
I think he's going to get all the minutes, yeah. I'm looking at the French national team, like their roster from last year. And so, if you look at it, they had Frank what is it, Nidalekina?
Nidalekina, yep. Frankie Smokes.
Who's not very good in the NBA. You have Nick Batum, who's going to age out by 2028.
Yep. Same with Fournier.
Fournier will age out by 2028.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gobert will be on the back end. And then who else? Who else is there?
Well, coming up, you've obviously got Wemby.
Yeah.
You've got Bilal Coulibaly, who, before getting a little bit of an injury, might have been on pace to win most improved player in the NBA this year in Washington. I know it's hard to see that. Also on Washington, Alex Saar.
Oh, Alex Saar. Forgot about him.
Also a very likely top 10 pick in this draft, Nolan Traore. Also a likely top 10 pick in this draft, Noah Senge.
Okay.
You picking up what I'm putting down here? That is a lot of very young, very talent-rich, high-level prospects that are all coming out of France at the same time. What this reminds me of is Spain's golden era. Mark and Pau Gasol, Sergio and Rudy, Sergio Llull. Like, you just look at the guys. Like, this is always going to be the issue until the rest of the world truly catches up. The volume.
Mm-hmm.
But when a group comes together over a period of time,
it will be interesting to see what Team USA looks like.
What that
will look like, and how much they lean into a team style game when they don't have to cater to Steph, LeBron, and KD and just say roll out a ball and we're going to go, because that will have to be the pivot in the transition, because it'll be, you know, for all those guys that you just mentioned for France, that is awesome, and they're surrounding Victor Wembanyama, no doubt about it, right? But for Team USA, it will be, you know, you mentioned a bunch of guys that are top 10 picks. A majority of the other guys that are going to get drafted are going to be top 10 picks too.
Well,
and they're going to be American.
So,
right? Like Cooper Flagg, or, you know, you roll out Ant Edwards is going to be a big focal point. Devin Booker will still be. Is Joel Embiid healthy enough to play? Who knows? You're probably going to cycle out by 2028. Anthony Davis, he won't be there. There's going to be a lot of guys.
That's what I'm saying.
This team's going to look
completely different.
Let's just
go through the list real quick of who could be on this team for Team USA, right? Is Bam Adebayo going to be on that list?
No.
Probably not. He'll be 31 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Devin Booker is 28, so he'll be 32. He could be the old head. Steph's gone. AD's gone. Kevin Durant's gone. Ant Edwards, yes. Embiid, gone. Halliburton, maybe. Drew Holiday, gone. LeBron, gone. Tatum, maybe at 30. Derek White will be 34. I mean, so you're talking about possibly Tatum, Hallie, Ant, Booker, maybe?
Booker. Yeah.
At 32, as he's the old head, what you're looking at is, you know, the next crop.
Next crop would have been the select team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which had Cooper Flagg, Jalen Duren, Brandon Miller, Pods from Golden State, Jabari Smith, Jalen Suggs, Amen Thompson, Keegan Murray, Micah Potter, Trey Murphy, Peyton Pritchard, Langston Galloway.
So what you're probably talking about from that group is, I would be stunned if Cooper Flagg was not on that team.
Yeah.
Okay. Jalen Duren, no. But Evan Mobley, Chet Holmgren, yep.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on Rip City Wrap-Up a couple weeks ago. There's a decent chance that Donovan Klingon is a center on that Olympic team.
Yeah.
Would not surprise me in the least bit.
7-foot American.
Well, I mean, just having one thing you have to have now in these tournaments is you have to have, like, look, I love Mobley. Mobley's one of my favorite players in the league. Chet is a very unique and special player. But you need a dyed-in-the-wool big. Your dyed-in-the-wool bigs in the NBA who are American right now, they are Donovan Klingon and Walker Kessler, who, again, very, 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 very good defensive bigs.
And then you have an athletic Duren who's going to play.
I don't think he's on that team.
You don't?
I don't think he's on that team.
Geesh.
But look at where the scoring burden here is going to be coming from, right? There, you don't have Steph. You don't have KD. You don't have Braun.
4 years. We'll figure it out. We'll make SGA American by then.
And
we did it to Embiid.
It's true. He had three different nations, Cameroon, France, and U.S.
See? We'll find somebody.
But it gets very interesting. It's going to be a transitionary period for the U.S., You are not going to be able to call on Captain America and LeBron James and Steph and KD.
No.
You can't call up the Avengers anymore.
Well, none of the top three players in the world will be American
No.
by that Olympics. Because if you continue to think Wemby, Jokic, and SGA.
Jokic would be 34. He turned 30 today.
Yeah.
So that's he'll probably fall down. But Luka,
the guy doesn't jump, so maybe.
Maybe his game ages, and particularly with the Olympics. And, again, stylistically and growing up and playing together in the system and all those kind of things. But the U.S. won't be able to just fall back on top 10. Like, I don't think people truly understand greatness and the level of greatness that we have in the NBA on Team USA side right now.
Really good.
LeBron, Steph, and KD are three active top 10 players. That's not going to be the case when we get to the next Olympic cycle.
No, we got 4 years figured out. We'll be fine.
All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up today's show with the old sweet meteor of death.
American arrogance is going to reign through. We're going to win.
It's going to suffer.
We're going to win.
Danny
no,
Dustin,
it's not!
Word life. Have you just had enough of all everything? Well, you have a 3.1% chance of the sweet meteor of death hitting the Earth in 2032.
Well, if we lose the Olympics in 2028, what's the point of having the Olympics 4 years later?
Not only that, they just ruled that the World Cup in 2034 will be alcohol-free.
What?
Because it's taking place in the kingdom.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Good luck keeping all of the Euros sober during that.
Yeah, remember they tried to do that in Qatar?
Yeah.
Didn't go well. The 3.1%, while it might not sound that big, it is the highest reported likelihood of an asteroid hitting the planet all time. And it's not, we're not talking about an asteroid the size of a Volkswagen.
No. Now, here's the thing. I've done some reading up on this here asteroid.
Mm.
And
the sweet meteor of death.
Terrifying. We can just send Bruce Willis up to drill it, put a bomb in there and blow this thing up. But these NASA guys, they're really smart. They've already kind of pinpointed this thing. By the way, 2030 is if it comes into our atmosphere. 2030 is when this is going to happen. They say they can already kind of tell where it would come in the pathway.
The pathing. Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah,
we're fine. You're thinking, like,
along the equator,
Bogota, Mumbai, Dhaka. There's a lot of places that are not the United States. Not to say that this would not be significant, but they're saying if it hits in a city, you're talking about explosion 500 times the Hiroshima bomb.
An explosive radius, yeah.
500 times Hiroshima. That's crazy to think
about. If I remember right, that is on par with one of our nukes now.
Now, they're saying it's not a...
It's not a planet killer.
Not a dinosaur killer, yeah. Right? But could you imagine if it hit not in a city, but in the ocean? If it lands in the ocean...
It'll create a tsunami.
You're talking about... And scientists say if it hits in the ocean and it hits relatively close to shore, you could see the largest ever recorded tsunami, just wiping out entire coastlines.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's the terrifying part because the likelihood of it hitting a city is actually pretty small. Ocean, larger.
77% of the planet is made up of ocean?
Yeah, that would be altering and it would affect so much. Tides... It would affect currents, all that stuff. It would not be good. This would not be good. But 3% chance, I feel like it's okay. And one thing that I have found out, do you know that we have asteroid deflection technologies?
Yes, straight out of Armageddon. NASA has successfully tested it, and China is working on it.
Is it a giant umbrella they put up over the Earth?
It's a detour sign. they post it, it's like, go this way. You got to go around.
They got the guy out there with an orange vest just floating in space.
You got to go around. I think lasers. This is what Space Force is for, mm-hmm. right? Space Force is to make sure this asteroid does not get to Earth. 3% chance.
1 in 32,
right.
If you want to make it sound scarier.
We're all right.
As a quick fact check, I was off by a zero on the difference between nukes with Hiroshima and today.
No, we have 50 times?
3,000 times.
It's an adding a zero.
Adding a zero.
Not taking one away. Yikes.
Yeah.
I'm not nervous about this.
Nah.
Science says don't be nervous about this.
Live your life.
It's a future us problem anyways. And we got asteroid deflection. Who knew?
Love it.
Who knew?
Great to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you have a business trip to Mumbai in 2030,
cancel it.
You should cancel that. Yeah. Or Bogota.
Unless that's the way you want to go out.
All right. We only got 2 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk, and then Duck basketball after that, taking on the Hawkeyes in Iowa. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday, noon to 3, right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Where do they film porn? And what is the pound of a price of meth? Oh, God.